Thank you so much, Desmond, for giving out those beautiful hymns. And those hymns really lined up with the topic which I chose today. And that's the Holy Spirit which is working behind us. So in the hymns, we were singing about the creation, how beautiful the creation is. And thinking about creation, there's one thing or a season which is happening right now. It's spring. Right? And the first sign of spring is cherry blossoms. Everywhere we look, we see some cherry blossom, really beautiful pink trees. And if we try to see Japan, for example, Mount Fuji, and it is surrounded by all the pink cherry blossoms. And that is really wonderful creation which God has created for us. But there's a really interesting fact about a cherry blossom is all those pink trees which we are looking, those don't bear a fruit, edible fruit. Those are just a cherry blossom, and even you can go to Google and search about that. That those all are pink flower cherry blossoms are ornamental trees. The real cherry blossoms or the cherry fruit trees actually bear a white flowers. And those flowers are really fragile. They actually withered really quick. But the thing is that white flower cherry blossoms, they do have one job to do, to bear edible fruit or to produce edible fruit. And the ornamental tree do have one thing to do, to just look beautiful. Right? And they both are really good at their jobs. But in Bible, if we go to Bible, there's a one incident, only one incident where Jesus used a really harsh word about a tree. And that tree was a fruit-bearing tree, but it was not producing the fruit. Let's go see Matthew chapter 21. And today we are going to look into that barren fig tree. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to read through verse 18. In the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" And there's the same incident which is recorded in book of Mark as well. If we go to chapter 11, verse 12, same incident written by a different gospel or a different author. Mark 11, verse 12, it says, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciple heard it." Now, there's a little bit skip because I'm going to skip a couple of verses and go to verse 20. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" So now we are talking about a fruit tree which was supposed to grow fruits. And that fruit tree didn't have any fruit. But some of the people come up with the question that even though when we go to book of Mark, it is written, it was not a season for figs, then why Jesus cursed that tree? There's a really big debate actually happening in the world that why Jesus actually cursed that tree. Now, just to go back into the background. So fig tree in Israel, those are different from the fig trees in the rest of the world. And fig tree is really important, and it is mentioned multiple times, over 50 times in Bible. If we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the fig tree leaves were used to create the first clothes for Adam and Eve. And if we go to Book of Revelation, chapter 6, 13, it says the star will fall like a fig from the fig tree. So from the book of Genesis till the book of Revelation, it was mentioned over the Bible multiple times. Fig tree is important. And now, here's another example about a fig tree, which was cursed. And the only time when Jesus cursed something or really used a harsh word against a tree, which is just a thing, to be honest. But that fig tree in Israel is different. Why? Because in Israel, the fig trees bear a fruit before they show a leaves, and they call it pagim. Pagim is a green small fruit which is on the tree before the leaves comes up in a spring, and it grows in winter or early spring. You can go to biology or read about the tree, but it is true about the fig trees in Israel. Those are different from the world because they bear a fruit before the leaves comes up, and that fruit is edible. So Jesus was actually looking for that green fruit which comes before the leaves, and if those green pagans are on the tree, that is the sign that it will bear a really good crop later on. And as you remember, Israel is a promised land, and fig tree in promised land bear fruit three times in a year. And that is amazing. And now that thing which was happening in Israel, the background, because Jesus was coming to Bethany, right after a couple of days when they had a really big triumphal entry of Jesus into the kingdom of Israel or into the city, and Jesus was looking for a fruit, and pagans, or I can say pagan, but it was not on the tree. So that's why Jesus cursed that tree, because the tree was supposed to have pagan, but it was not showing any sign of fruit bearing, or it was not showing a sign that it will bear a fruit or actual figs later on. And that's why it was cursed. And even if you want to debate about that why Jesus actually cursed that tree, even though it was not bearing a fruit, it can bear in the next year or the later year. There's another passage which we can refer to, or the people, those who want to debate about that, they can refer to. If we go to Book of Jonah, you don't have to turn to those chapter. If you go to Book of Jonah, by the end of the book, there's one event happened when Jonah was sitting under a tree, and that tree grew over the night, and it withered away by the God's direction. I'm going to read those verses for you guys. Jonah chapter 4, verse 9 and 11. If people want to debate about why Jesus cursed that fig tree. Chapter 4, verse 9, it is said, "Then God said to Jonah, 'It is right for you to be angry about the plant.' And he said, 'It is right for me to be angry even to death.' But the Lord said, 'You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand and much livestock?" So my idea is, if people want to, because before the beginning, just a background, I just want to put an idea. If people want to debate about that, why Jesus cursed or why he used a hard word on that tree, Jesus actually used that tree to give us a lesson. And he's the creator of the world. He's the one who designed that tree. He's the one who created us before the creation of the world. And he can use one tree to give us a lesson, a lifelong lesson, which can save us from the death. Right? So we don't have to debate about it. Because even in Jonah chapter 4, verse 9, it is said, "Then God said to Jonah," or even to us, "'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' No, we don't have the right. So now, get back to that fig tree, or that event. So this event, which is happening in Matthew and Mark, there are three aspect of this event. First, Jesus came looking for the fruit. He shows a desire to have a fruit, or that he was hungry. And the second aspect is, he was disappointed, right? There was nothing on the tree. He came looking for the fruit, but there was no fruit on the tree. He was disappointed. And then the third aspect is, he declared what he was supposed to do. He declared that this fruit will never bear a fruit again for anyone. And for these three aspects, let's look at the first one. So the Lord's desire, as I already said, a couple of days ago, there was a triumphal entry in that city. Jesus came to the city and people acknowledged that he is the King of Israel. He is the Son of the God. He is coming to this land. And now, because this whole thing is happening in Israel, and Jesus wants to teach Israel, but we're going to go to different aspects of this whole teaching or this victory as well. So Jesus came to that city, and the whole city acknowledged that, okay, he's the Son of the God, he's the King of Israel. But a couple of days later, after this event, they are the same people who are denying him. They are saying, give us Barabbas, we don't need Jesus anymore. Put him onto the cross. And that's why Jesus came to Israel looking for the fruit, but there was no fruit in Israel. He didn't curse Israel. He's just using that tree as a lesson for Israel. But in our life, Jesus come to us as well. Or he will come one day to us as well, looking for the fruits. Now the question is, are we the fig tree which we do have those green pagans? Or are we the ornamental cherry blossom? Or are we the fruit-bearing cherry blossom? Let's look into the fruit. So, his desire, Jesus wanted to see some fruit in our life. He was looking for some fruit in Israel, but he wanted to look some fruits in our life, even in church, even in city, even in country as well. First, look at a personal level. The first personal level is going to be the fruits or the attributes of fruit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 till 26. Galatians, book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So now we are looking into fruit. What fruit which Jesus was looking for? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So these are the attributes of that fruit which Jesus is looking for on a personal level. The first is love. Now the question is, what is love? It's a question for everyone. What is love? No answers. Are we still awake? Okay. So love is God, because he's the only one who showed us what the love is. He gave his only begotten son just because of love. And that son also died for us on the cursed cross just because of the love. That agape love, which don't want anything back from us. He just gave it away. He just showed us. Because he saved us before the creation. Or before we acknowledge him as a God. He just did that for us. That is love. And if you want to look more in detail, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And go over the whole chapter which talks about love. Now the second attribute of that fruit is joy. We can't see happy all the day. There's a one hymn we sing, I'm happy all the day, but we turn that into I'm thankful all the day, right? We can be thankful all the day, but we can't be happy all the day. But over here, it's said that the second attribute of the attribute or the aspect of that fruit is joy. And joy is actually satisfaction with God. Not in the world. And if you want to look into more detail, we can go to John chapter 4, verse 34, which talks about the joy. And the third one is peace. Now, peace in Bible is really different as compared to the peace in world. We had one sermon, actually, I gave a sermon a couple of months ago about peace. And peace in the world is just an absence of chaos or they say, okay, there is no war, it's a peace. But in Bible, the peace is shalom. It's satisfaction or the joy or the peace of God, which is in the middle of chaos, you still do have that peace. You know that God is with you. You do have a satisfaction. You don't need anything else because God is with you. And if God is with you or in on your side, then you are the majority. And the fourth is long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. Even though if we are going through a difficult time, even though if there's a persecution over the world, but still we are patient that God is going to do a good thing to us. He's the one who's going to save us. He's the one who's going to take us to the heaven, to the promised land. Because for Israel, Moses or other people, the promised land was Israel. But for us, the promised land is up in the heaven. And he will take the whole that whole Israel as well with him. And the next one is goodness. Kindness. Kindness is gentleness. God showed that kindness to the children when the disciples were stopping children from coming to him. He showed a kindness. Let them come because children are the pure heart. You can go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 14 to look into this event. And the next is goodness. Goodness is just a kindness but shown to other as well. And the next one is going to be faithfulness. It's trust. There's a brother in your church and you have a trust in him. You have a confidence that he can do it. That if you assign one task to that person, that person is reliable. Or if you are reliable to others as well or not. And the most important is, are you faithful toward God or not? If God is looking for a fruit in our life, are we reliable enough to produce a fruit for him or not? That is faithfulness. And the next one is gentleness. Our Lord washed the feet of the disciples. He was low. He even though he was the creator of the world, still he died on that cross. He was hanged with all those other thieves and other person. Those were supposed to be there, but God was not supposed to be there. And the next is self-control. Self-control is holding oneself from the desire of the world, from anything which is not according to the law. And these attributes is not just for a personal level. These attributes also for a church. Are we as a church, are we producing a fruit? Or are we showing these attributes or not? Do we have that spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control for each other? There are so many churches in the world, but they might have some of those fruits and can be missing some. And also, these attributes of fruit should be in a city or as a nation as well. It is not good to have a nation called a Christian nation, but don't have any attribute of these. The nations are turning around against each other. There's a fight everywhere, even though aerospace industry bloom because of those conflicts. But still, those conflicts are not good. There are people dying on both sides. We know Bible support Israel, but remember, there are believers in Iran as well. There are souls which needs to be saved in Iran as well. If there's a conflict between Ukraine and Russia, there are souls, those who are present in Russia, which needs to be saved as well. Not just in Ukraine. Or even if we go to Middle East, there are people dying everywhere. But that these attributes of fruit needs to be shown in the whole nation as well, on in the world. So it starts from a personal level. If that personal level, we do have all those attributes, it goes up to the church. If that church do have that attributes, it goes up to the community. That community goes into the city, that city goes into the nation, and that nation goes into the world. It's a really dangerous, or I can say a really beautiful infection. More, COVID was really dangerous, but this infection, these fruits, if we have it, This will grow really quick. This will go to one another really quick if we have those in our life. And remember, only good trees bear these fruits. If we go to John chapter 15, verse 1, let's go there really quick. John chapter 15, verse 1. It is said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the church or as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What a beautiful verses these are. Just two things, a branches, fruit, and a vine. The vine is God, we are the branches, and if we abide in our Lord Jesus Christ or in God, then we are going to bear good fruit. And not everyone can bear a fruit, but not every good tree can bear a good fruit as well. So there are bad fruits which are bared by a good tree. If we go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 18, we don't have to go there. So it tells us that there are fruit. Some people, they bear fruit, but those are not good enough. Those are not according to the Bible. That fruit don't have the attribute of love, joy, kindness, gentleness, or faithfulness, or all those points. So this was the fruit which God was looking for. Now the next section is Lord's disappointment. He went to that tree. He was looking for that particular fruit which do have those attributes, but he was not able to find those. Now, right now, we are living in a golden era of Christianity. We do have access to everything. We can go on phone. We can search the gospel. We can read the Bible over there. We don't have to look for a physical Bible, right? We can go to multiple churches. There's churches every street or every other street. We can easily go there. Even if we are on a YouTube, there's an ad coming up with the gospel. Even if we are on Instagram, Facebook, or any other social media, once in a while, there's an ad coming up, hey, this is a gospel, or a couple of Bible verses. We do have access to gospel or Bible verses everywhere. We are in a golden era because we are living under a grace period right now. And remember, this grace period will not last forever. It will end soon when our Jesus Christ is going to come back. But the question is, are we still showing just the leaves, or are we showing any fruits out of those? Even though we do have access to everything, even though we do have Bibles in our hands, even though we do have Bible, or we do have a privilege to maybe listen to a podcast in our car or go anywhere and listen to a Bible verses or go through different books. Those are available online, audible books and podcasts, videos, everything, or even songs, everything. Even after all those things, which are not accessible at this time when this whole event was happening, or even in the past, or even in the future, but still, are we just showing the leaves, but God is coming to us to look for the fruit? God is coming over here. He's coming soon. He's coming back. We can go to the book of Revelation. It's all over the Bible that he will come back on the Mount of Olives. But are we just showing the leaves that we are Christian, or we do have just a profession of Christianity, not the belief of Christianity? Do we just look saved in the church, But when we go outside, just outside this door, put our arms around the devil, hey, let's go to some other place. Where we are. Because Lord is looking for us, looking for that fruit, that fig tree, even though it's green, even though it's a little bit sore, but still it's edible. Jesus is looking for that promise that you will bear a good fruit in the later days. And are we still just showing the leaves, that green leaves, that pink flowers of cherry blossoms of ornamental tree, which don't have any hope of bearing a good fruit? Because that fruit is only edible by birds, not by humans. That's why in this event, Lord declared that curse on that tree. Because he was looking for that white flowers, which will bear that white flower cherry blossom, which will bear a good cherries, edible, really good one, which you can easily buy from a Walmart. Because now if you go to the kids and ask where the cherry grows, they will say, hey, on Walmart shelf, right? Because they don't know where they are coming from. But our God knows that there's no Walmart in the heaven. There's no frills in the heaven, no name brand. But there are trees, and those trees are right now over here. I can see all those leaves and fruits hanging from these trees. We are the forest which Lord actually put together. We are the Garden of Eden. And God says, don't go outside the door with a hand on the shoulder of devil, because he's coming for us. And now, why our Lord declared that curse on that tree? And that curse is really hard. If we go to John chapter 15, verse 2, it is said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So he prunes the branches, those who are growing some fruit as well. We go through difficult times so that we can learn some of those attributes of the fruit. If we ask God, hey God, teach us how to love, he's going to put us in a condition where we can learn how to love each other. If we're looking for a joy or long-suffering or a patience, then he's going to put us through a difficult time so that we can learn a patience, and that patience will never go away even in a more difficult time. And that's the same thing God is doing in chapter 15, verse 2 of John, that says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes as well. But that harsh word is in Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 10. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, when we went back to that event into the Mark. So in Mark. So Mark chapter 11, verse 28, it said, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So now there's a one sentence, from the root. Whenever the trees or the plants you are buying from Walmart or gifting one another, all those plants actually dried from the leaves, and then the last thing which is going to dry out is the root, right? And even in a medical field, when we see, first, if you are in a cold, really cold environment, then you're going to have hypothermia. So in hypothermia condition, all your blood vessels in your extremities, for example, hands and feet, are going to block first, just to keep the heat to heart and your lungs and brains as well. But in this case, that tree dried from the root, the person died from the heart, lungs and brain, and then the outside. So that is an instant death. Because now the tree is dying from inside, and that's why even in Matthew chapter 3 verse 10 it is said, and even now the axe is laid to the root, not to the branches, not to the leaves, to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. There's no coming back from that fire. Because God is looking for a fruit. He's coming. And then when he's disappointed by us for not bearing any fruit on that last day when he's coming, Then he's going to, because every person have to stand in front of God. And that God is going to judge us. He have given us a grace period. We do have a really long time or even a short time. God can come right now as well. But we do have some time to bear some fruit, to have some of those attributes. But if we are not bearing any, then he's going to cut us, put us into the fire. And we have to be really careful about that, because those are harsh words which are used against a fig tree just to teach us a lesson. And now, that fruit have one, there is one more fruit as well. So now we are living as a Christians. We are the gospel in the world. We are supposed to bear some fruits. Not these, just love, joy, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, or gentleness. But these all attributes will produce one more fruit, which is a new life, which we will save. That's the gospel, because our Jesus Christ died for us. He died for our sins, not for just my, but for everyone. And he died at a right time, at a right age, and at the really middle of the whole thing. Because now everyone who is coming into faith, or everyone who is living on the face of earth right now, that person can be saved. And we have to bring those fruit to the church, or bring those fruit to the life as well. There's a really, yesterday, I went to a Tavistock conference. There were a couple of guys from our church, those were there as well. And Tom Bell, one of the speakers, he showed one video. That video was Penn and Teller. Do you guys know Penn and Teller? So Penn, there was one event that one person actually reached out to him, gave him a gospel, and there was no defensive or not any argument between them. There's a video on YouTube. You can go there and check that video out. But my focus is not on the video. But the thing he said afterward. So remember, Penn and Teller, they both are atheists. They don't believe in God. But still, when Penn received that gospel, and later on, he said, how much you have to hate someone to not share the gospel or the good news with that person. Just remember, you are going to a work, and there's a person sitting right beside you. How much you have to hate that person that you want him to die, not to go to the life. Just imagine, okay, different scenario. Just imagine you are on the road or on the side of the road, and there's a truck coming by. You know that the truck is going to kill this person. How much you have to hate that person to not pull him from the side, on the side. You're just letting that person stand in front of a truck so that he can die. That is the same thing which God is asking us to produce a fruit. We have to be a gospel in the world, because we are not the one who are hating people. Neither did our Lord hate anyone. He came over here to save everyone. Doesn't matter if that person is living in Iran or Israel, in a Ukraine or a Russia, it doesn't matter. He came over here to save everyone, and we don't have a right, as Penta said, that we don't have a right to hate that person, that that person should die. Because remember, everyone who did not believe in God so far is going to the end. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 18. It said, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, who have not trusted God as his Savior, who don't have faith, those people are already going to face their death. They are already in front of their train or a truck. Now, as a believers, as a fruit-bearing trees, it's our right or our responsibility to save those people. Bring another fruit as well. And there's another verse as well. If you go to Luke chapter 15, verse 7, you don't have to go there, but I'm going to read it out to you. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. How wonderful that party is going to be where all the angels are joining. We're looking for a joy in our faces, but everyone is, right? Because maybe some person are people are missing coffee, maybe a tea or something. But remember, how much joy it's going to be in a heaven when there will be one sinner saved in the world. When we are going to pull one person in front of those truck to a side, how much joy it's going to be in that heaven. That all the angels are going to rejoice. Because our God is holy, holy, holy. He's just using one fig tree to give us a lesson. And we have to learn that lesson really quick. Because he's coming back. So now, to the end. The question, the thing is, he will cut those roots. Those will not bear any fruit. And that thing is going to happen. Because everyone who did not believe in him is not a savior. It's not, that person is not saved yet. So that person is going to die for sure. Or even if we don't produce a fruit which God is asking us to produce, or he's desiring us to produce, then we are going to that end as well. Because he's coming back. He's coming back really soon. And he's looking for those fruit. Because remember, when we got saved, he bought us. He bought us as a clean slate. Now he's writing his beautiful story on us. He's putting all those colors on us. And one day he will come back to check if we do have all those colors still on ourselves or not. If we go to the book of Revelation, there are 7 churches. And each church do have a different attribute. Let's just look over there. Book of Revelation. I'm going to just read the topics of the section. So there's a loveless church. There's persecuted church. There's a compromising church. There's a corrupt church. There's a dead church. And the faithful church. And the lukewarm church as well. And God have 5 things to say against 5 of those churches. But 2 of the churches, Philadelphia and Sardin, one is persecuted. Samaria. One is persecuted and Philadelphia is faithful church. So we need to remember, find out which church we are as a person. Are we the person which don't have any love but just the leaves? Or are we a person those got compromised with the world? Or are we the person those are corrupt with the God? Are we the person those who are dead with the God? Or are we the person who is lukewarm with the God? Or lukewarm love with the God? Because God wants us to be the church of faithfulness and the church which might be persecuted but still standing strong. That is our God. So now, at the end, when we examine us, when we examine ourselves, or whenever the God is going to come examine us, does he going to find whatever he is seeking for? That fruit which do have those different attributes? Or is he going to see just the pink cherry blossoms? Because he's looking for a fruit, cherries, not to buy from a Walmart, not to buy from anyone anywhere else, but to pick those up from us. I remember one time, at the time, I didn't have a car, so there was a car race happening in Delaware. What I decided, maybe some people will find out I was dumb, but what I decided to do, I just tried walking down to Delaware from London. There was no car, there was no Uber, there was no bus service, so what I decided to do is pack my bag, put some water bottles in, just some snacks, and walk down to Delaware to see a car race. I started walking down. It was a really nice weather, sunny weather, no clouds at all. And while I was walking down, there was trees on the path. Those were blackberry trees. And if I look onto the trees, if the tree do have some flowers, I was sure that there were going to be some blackberries on the tree as well. So I went to the tree, I picked up some blackberries, really fresh, right off the tree. I picked those blackberries, just wash it a little bit, because it's on the side of the road. So wash it a little bit and just eat it. Those were really sweet blackberries, maybe the best one I have ever tried, because I was able to eat those when I needed those blackberries the most. And it's the same thing happening with God. He's coming down. He's going to walk through this world, and he will be desiring to have those blackberries or those fruits or those cherries from us. If those fruits are going to be sour or not good enough, there's no benefit to our God. He's going to cut down those trees so that tree will never bear any fruit and never disappoint anyone else as well. Be that tree. Let's sing one hymn before the closing. Hymn number 565. To remember us to bear some fruits. Hymn number 565. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for this message to give us, to let us understand or to give us a lesson to bear some fruit. Heavenly Father, help us to bear some good fruits so that when you are going to come back, you can find what you desire for, so that you won't be disappointed from us, because we know that you are coming back. You are coming back and that day is near, and you will take us to the heaven. But the trees which will not bear any fruit will cut down. Heavenly Father, help us to go into the world to bear some fruits. Those fruits which can save the lives. Because that is the only task which you have given us. To go into the world and preach the gospel. Heavenly Father, turn us into the gospel so that we can save the lives. We can save our lives as well and to the people which among which we are living. Heavenly Father, help us to take this message home when we go back. On the way back home, Heavenly Father, guide us, protect us, and turn us into a lighthouse for the world so that we can beam the light which you have given us. Because we know you are the Savior. You are the one person who died for our sins. And we have to tell this wonderful message, this wonderful news that the Christ that died for us is risen again and he's coming back. And now he's coming back to take us home. Heavenly Father, save our lives, turn our hearts, and also use us as much as you can so that before the coming back of you, we can be a beaming light, we can be a gospel, we can be example or a tree which bear fruits, not just show the flowers. Heavenly Father, I hand you over all the souls, those who are present over here, and all the days, those who are coming. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.